his leading. Psalm 61, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God in heaven, what a thrill it is to know that we can cry out to you. We can ask for your guidance, your direction, your leadership. And Lord, we can truly go to new heights. Father, the message this morning is not intended to be some kind of a personal pep talk. But Lord, the message this morning is something that I most sincerely believe you placed on my heart. Father, I thank you for the way in which you do speak to us through your word. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have of talking to you, of seeking your guidance and direction, of seeing your path clearly laid out, and of truly accomplishing what otherwise would be humanly impossible, all because we've sought to go in your strength. Lord, speak to every heart that is here this morning. God, I realize in our presence there are those who are part of our church family. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to genuinely make this our heart's cry throughout 2013, that God would lead each of us individually to the rock that is higher. And Father, at the same time this morning, I pray for those that do not yet know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would realize the tremendous joys and blessings that are found when we do cry out to God. Speak to not our ears, but our hearts today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As you've heard me say on many occasions, David is undoubtedly, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, my favorite Bible hero. He holds a special place in my heart because you would be hard-pressed to find any Christian who cannot readily identify with him in one way or another. He knew what it meant to have all the odds against him and still do what is right. He knew how to always find hope, and he knew that his hope would only be found in God. Yet he's also one who accomplished much for the Lord. You see, it was his joy to be chosen by God to bring the children of Israel and Judah back together as a unified country. It was his dream to see God have a permanent place of worship, which caused the children of Israel to transition from the tabernacle to the temple. And it was his heart that God chose to touch in such a tender fashion that would serve as an encouragement to believers today. In this psalm, it is evident that David is not in a comfortable position at the time of the writing of this psalm. Some say that he may have written this when Saul was hotly pursuing him, or it may have been when his son Absalom had risen up against him. Regardless of where he was, his words can and should provide motivation to all of us today. We too must ask God to lead us to the rock that is higher. We're going to see God do great things through us as a church family, as individuals. We have to first ask God to lead us to the rock that is higher. We have to see the need to have God do a work in our lives. First of all, in order for that to be accomplished, we have to have a dissatisfaction with where we currently are. You know, one of the problems that we find today is everyone is trying to create a religion and unfortunately even a Christianity where we can be comfortable. You know, we can look at our lives and we can say, well, Lord, you know, I've been saved and I'm a part of a good church and I've got your word and I read your Bible and I pray and my family's not so bad and we don't have horrible things happening to us and I'm just pretty content with where I am. But you see, what the Christian life is about is a personal daily sanctification. A process through which the Holy Spirit wants to cause each of us to grow, to be more like God. To grow, to be less like this world. But in order for us to go to that rock that is higher, in order for us to allow God to show us what it is that He has in store for us, we have to come to a place where we reach a dissatisfaction with our current condition. We think of what the Bible reminds us in the book of Revelation as John tells us of the church at Laodicea. The problem, truthfully, was not so much that they were going backwards as it was that they had grown stagnant and they were content with where they were and saw no need to go forward. They had become apathetic. They had become lukewarm. It wasn't a matter of being on fire for God anymore. They were satisfied with where they had arrived, with to what they had attained. And they said, listen, don't ruffle our feathers. Don't stir the waters. Don't cause us to leave our comfort zone. We're perfectly content exactly where we are. Kind of like we say, tongue in cheek, us four and no more. What I want to remind us of this morning is that God has tremendous heights to which He desires for every one of His children to attain if we will realize, Lord, I have not arrived. God, I'm not all that I can be. God, I don't want to stay where I am spiritually today for the rest of my life. God, I must cry out to You because I don't want to stay where I currently find myself. We have to have a dissatisfaction. You see, David knew that wherever God was would be higher than where he was. And what the world is trying to teach us today is really we can take God and we can bring God down to where we are so that we don't have to change our lives. So that we don't need to worry about being made different. So that we don't have to really stretch or increase our faith. So that we don't have to go beyond where we've already attained. But that's not what the Lord desires. You see, God always has a special plan for each one of His children that requires us on a daily basis to go to Him and to say, Lord, today I want You to lead me to that rock that is higher. God, I thank You for what You did yesterday. God, I'm grateful for what's happened in the past. But Lord, I don't want that to be the last word in the chapter of my life. God, I want to see more accomplished. God, I want to see what can yet be done. I want to truly follow You and to do what is pleasing unto You. David knew that his circumstances could not be fixed by himself. Look at what he says here when he tells us the condition in which he found himself in verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Now, I realize there may be some that are here this morning who are saying, well, you know, I've got so many things going on in my life, I can't imagine going forward. I've got so many fires to put out right now, I can't think of adding one more thing to the list. You know, I'm treading water. I'm just barely keeping my head above water. I'm just barely hanging in there. Well, if that's the scenario in which you find yourself, you've got a lot of good company. David said, that's exactly where I find myself right now. Now, when we think of David, we realize that he had a lot of ups and downs in his life. We find him at different times being pursued by Saul, as it might have been at this particular juncture of his life that we find here in Psalm 61. We find him at times going out to the battlefield, going after the Goliaths, going after the Philistines, going after those who were seeking to take his life from him. We find him coming back and finding Ziklag burned to the ground and their wives taken of him and the hundreds of men that were with him. And how they began to speak of stoning him and saying, hey, look, you're the one who made us go to this battle and now we've come back and there's not anything here. How can we possibly go forward? You see, the way in which we can go forward is by acknowledging, okay, all right, I don't want this to be the pattern for the rest of my life. I don't want it to be that I'm simply going from fire to fire to fire. But I genuinely desire that God would take me to a higher plane, that God would cause me to be drawn that much closer to Him, so that then I can experience a deeper meaning in my personal walk with God and a more profound joy that comes from finding myself in the presence of God. We have to have a dissatisfaction with where we are, but we also have to have a desire to rise. You ever thought about the fact that here in Psalm 61, no one else prayed this prayer for David? It was not something that others in his army of soldiers, it was not something that his spouse, or in David's case, his spouses were praying for him. But David himself said, God, no, there's a lot going on right here. And God, what I want to see is I want to see you cause me to go higher. It was his desire to see God work. So a lot of times you can find the coach comes in and tries to encourage the team and tries to tell them, hey, listen, we can win this game. We can defeat this opponent. We can put the points up on the scoreboard. But all of his desire, while it may be a contributing, motivating factor among the players, it in and of itself is not going to change the players if they are not dissatisfied with where they are and if they do not have a personal inner hunger and desire to go forward in the game. He can desire it all he wants. But if they don't desire victory, if they don't desire to defeat the opponent, more than likely it will not happen. Now, I must say this morning that the most unusual thing happened to me. In my 10 plus years of going on morning prayer walks, what happened this morning truly was a first. I've been praying for God to work in a great way and to prepare hearts. And I guess he was preparing mine in a somewhat unexpected fashion. On my 3-mile walk through our neighborhood at 5:20 in the morning, I start off walking. I go for a few blocks of walking. Then I jog a bit to get my heart rate up. And after jogging a couple of blocks, I walk again. And then at the halfway point, I jog again to get my heart rate back up. Now, during my walk, I use that as an opportunity to talk to God in prayer. So my thoughts are not always overly focused on my surroundings. And over the years, I've seen different animals. I've had deer that are close as the front pew is to me right now. I remember one time seeing a mama raccoon. I didn't get out and check, but walk across the street and had all of her little cubs or whatever they're called following right behind her as she walked across. I've had others that have come through and different animals. But as I was jogging up the street, I was in mid-thought. The street was very quiet. I mean, it was a quietness almost as if you could literally have heard a pin drop. And as I was jogging up the street, there's seldom any cars at that hour of the morning, on Sundays at least, when all of a sudden, as I was jogging up the street, I heard a blood-curdling scream. Now, I must say, at that point in time, I thought, God, take me higher. Lord, you know, I mean, my heart jumped out of my chest and I thought, what in the world is going on? And so I'm immediately trying to somehow increase my vision and see what's going on around me, where that came from. And I figured out, I knew the noise had come from ahead of me and off to my left a little bit, and figured out as I continued jogging up the road that there was a car that was parked there, and the window was cracked at the top, and I could smell a little bit of cigarette smoke. The air was very dense, and realized that someone presumably thought they would just play a cute prank on this jogger that was coming up the street. And so I did not jump at the time, although my heart nearly jumped out of my chest. But I did decide to give that car a little bit of a wider berth as I continued up the street. And the whole time I went past it, I thought, I'm going to hear if that engine starts and if they come after me. And finally got up about another 50 yards or so and turned around and looked, and I saw brake lights, and I could see the car was driving off in the opposite direction. But I must say this morning, when I heard that, my desire was to get out of there. My desire was to get going. My desire was to go forward. My desire was not to stay there. And that was not a desire of others. That was my personal desire. I didn't want to stick around there. I didn't want to know what on earth was going on. Do you know what David here demonstrates? It was his desire to have God hear him. It says in verse 1, "Hear my cry, O God." And I would ask you this morning, do you desire for God to hear you? You say you've got some different issues that you're facing in your life, and you say there are some things that are happening in your home or some things that are happening in the workplace. Do you desire for God to do a work in your heart in 2013? Do you desire for God to hear you? It was not only his desire to have God hear him, but truthfully to have God help him, which is why he said, "Attend unto my prayer." Of course, we can't forget what the Bible teaches us in the book of James, that we have not because we ask not. What is your desire? What have you been praying for God to do in your heart, in your life here recently? What is your desire for God to do in the Fairfax Baptist Temple? What is your desire to see God do in your Bible study fellowship class? In the choir, in security, in the academy, in the teen group. What is your desire? Do you wish for God to take you higher? Or are you merely content with where you've already attained? There has to be a dissatisfaction and a desire, and then there must be a dedication to remove obstacles that would impede rising. You see, David knew that God, in his omniscience, was more aware of his personal needs than any other person on the face of the earth. He knew that God was the one who was the only one who could truly help him to go to that rock that was higher. He could not do it on his own. But he was willing to acknowledge, "Lord, I need your help in my life." You know, one of the problems that we have sometimes in our Christian lives is we tend to think, "God, don't worry about it. I've got everything under control. God, this problem, I can take care of it. God, this situation here, you don't need to worry about it. I'll take care of things." And that is the moment at which we most need the help of our God. But are we dedicated to remove the obstacles that would impede rising with God? You see, I have to be transparent before God. I have to open my heart to Him. I have to ask the Lord, "God, please cleanse my heart. Remove whatever might be there that would cause the Holy Spirit not to have the free rein in my heart and in my life. Because, God, I don't want to stay where I currently find myself." So when we think of seeing the Lord do His work in our hearts and lives, we have to ask God to lead us to that rock. We have to see the need to have Him work in our lives. But we also have to see that truly God is the one who wants to work in our lives. Reminded of the words of God as given through Moses back in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 4, where he says of God, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." David says in Psalm 18 and in verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. See, God is not made like you and I are. God is far greater, far higher than you or I would ever be on our own. The prophet Isaiah says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm grateful that God is higher than I am, because due to the fact that God is higher than I am, that lets me know He can get me up from where I currently am. You see, if He were right where I was and no higher, then it would be very difficult if I do not have sufficient strength in and of myself, because I have a human, fleshly, carnal nature. It would be very difficult, yea, nigh impossible, for me to ever have any hope of going higher. But because my God is higher, because my God is the rock, because my God is the deliverer, I can find in Him strength, I can find in Him protection, and I can find in Him refuge. David says in Psalm 27 and verse 5, in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David knew that there was security that was found in God, which is why he says in verse 3, Thou hast been a shelter for me. He knew that there was strength in God, a strong tower from the enemy. It is said that it was used militarily back in the time of David, that they would build physical towers, that when the enemy was coming, it would be a place where the people in the town could literally run and find protection from those that would seek to take their lives. And he says, God, that's what you are to me. But you know what is interesting is here in this passage in verse 4 is the first time that we find mention of what David has here phrased and helps us to understand a little bit more about how he understood who God was. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Now we have to keep in mind that David is writing at the time when there was a physical tabernacle. It was a tent made of animal skins. It was a temporary, movable structure. It was something that they would take up and put down every time God led them to a new place. And yet David here had such a hunger and such a thirst for the presence of God, had such a strong desire to be led to that rock that was higher, that he says, I am going to abide, I am going to dwell, I am going to stay in the tabernacle of my God forever. And I would ask you today, how much do you desire the presence of God? How much do you desire to truly be in God's presence on a daily basis? How do you view coming to God's house this morning as something to get over with because I've got more important things to do, or as an opportunity to hear with other brothers and sisters in Christ, if you know Christ as your Savior, to enter together as a church body and worship the Lord and enter into His gates, as the psalmist reminds us, even with singing. So I ask you today, do you understand who God is, the rock? Do you see the need to have Him work in your life? And thirdly, do you sense the benefit of having Him work in your life? You see, there's something interesting when we think here. He tells us of what God has done, of where God has brought him from in the past. He says, you've been that shelter, you've been that strong tower. But I want us to think about this. Going to the rock that is higher will give you new vision. Going to the rock that is higher will give you new vision. Driving to church this morning, I see that God had brought in some fog, which reinforces our need to go higher so that we can really see what's happening and where we're going. We drove back from vacation on Friday and drove through over 8 hours of almost nonstop fog. Just an interesting weather pattern. But you know, I remember back this past fall when I had opportunity of going away and really asking for God and His direction for our church in 2013. And I went up to Skyline Drive. In fact, went to a place I've gone to several times before. But if you take 211, it comes right up there and you'll see there used to be a Panorama restaurant that was right there. They used to have the best blueberry pancakes you've ever had. But unfortunately, they shut down about 10 years ago, and it's nothing more than a restroom facility now. But in that parking lot that surrounds it, there's a place that's called Mary's Rock. I know some of you are hikers in here. How many of you have gone to Mary's Rock before? Several of you have. But you know, it's interesting on that path. If you'll follow that path, and I believe it's roughly about 3 miles or so, and there and back. And you go to that path, and you finally come out of the woods, and you get to that rock. And it's just a large flat rock that is there, and it overlooks the entire Shenandoah Valley. And when you're going through the woods, and you're going over the trees and the roots and stepping around the little stones that are there in the path and things like that, and you finally come out to that rock, you realize by going higher what a different picture you have of what's going on than when you're down in the valley. You know, and when we think of our God sees our life from a heavenly perspective, from an eternal perspective. Our God sees our life as having just begun and already finished. Our God knows everything that's going to take place in our lives. And what God desires for each of us is that we would say, Lord, I desire to see what You see in my life. Because as much as God sees where we're going, He also sees what we need to get rid of in our lives now. He sees the things that need to change. He sees the things where we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work that much more in our lives to cause us to be what He wants us to be. But do you desire to be transparent before God? To see what He sees? To have the vision of the Lord regarding reaching even this world? Going to the rock that is higher not only will give you new vision, but it will require vigor. You see, this strength can come only from the Lord. This week, while driving back from our vacation, we swung by a bookstore and picked up a John Williams recording of some American tunes. And one of those was one of the themes from the recent Olympics. It was a tune I had not heard before. I was not familiar with, and there was singing in the background. And I knew I did not understand the language, so I asked Becky to check the CD jacket to see what the song was. And she found out it was called Sitius Altius Fortius, which for those of you who speak Latin, is superfluous to say that that simply means swifter, higher, stronger. And I thought, you know, if the world desires to go faster, to go higher, to be stronger, how much more so should the Christian? You see, the great difference is that the world's achievements are only temporal. But for the man or woman who seeks the rock that is higher, he will find the strength that comes will be eternal. And what a joy it is to know that yes, we can find all the strength that we need in ourselves in God. You see, I don't have what I need in and of myself. But if I will go to that rock that is higher, if I will ask for the Holy Spirit to empower me to do what God wants me to do, then as I have a greater vision for what can be accomplished, as I go forward in my Christian life, I will have strength where once was weakness. As we were embarking on our trip a little over a week ago, we decided we were going to drive the full 16 hours from here to my folks' house in Lakeland, Florida. all in one fell swoop. And we've never done that much driving to, at one time before. And I realize some of you have done more than that, 18, 20, perhaps even longer. But for us, normally we drive about 5 or 6 hours and we'll get a stop, or we may go 8 or 10 hours and then we'll stop and spend the night somewhere. But we decided we want to get a head start on this. And I knew I would be doing most of the driving. So I thought, well, I'm going to get weak. I'm going to be tired. So I'm going to need some extra strength. And so I had heard of this 5-hour energy. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with that. The little bottle you always see at the checkout counter, it seems like. And so I thought, all right, I'm going to go. So I went to Walmart and I looked at the different ones they had. And I noticed they had some that were extra strength. And so it had, I don't know, 200 milligrams of caffeine or something like that in it. And so I thought, all right, well, I'm not going to waste around with this, you know, the regular stuff. I'm going straight for the extra energy. And I thought, great. I know I'm going to be tired. I know I'm not going to be able to do that well on the road. So I'm going to take these with me. So I got two of the bottles, a little double pack. After driving about an hour or two, I was getting tired, and I thought, okay, this is the perfect time. I'm going to take this 5-hour energy. I'm going to get re-energized, and we're just going to plow through the night. Everything's going to be smooth sailing. So I opened it up, and of course, it's dark, and I'm trying to drive with one hand and figure out what's going on. And Becky was the only one awake in the car at the time. The kids were all asleep. And so I get this thing, and I'd read on it. But prior to that, before I started driving, I'd read that you actually can take just a little bit, about half a bottle, and see what effect it has on your body before you take the whole bottle. And I thought, you know, I am so tired right now. I'm just going to go ahead and take the whole thing. I don't need to fool with a half of a dosage. So I said, you know, wait a few minutes and you'll see immediate results. I thought, great. So I took that stuff, which tastes absolutely nasty. I got the grape flavor, but didn't get much grape out of it. And waited 5 minutes. I thought, okay, I'm not any more energetic. Waited about 15 minutes, waited about 30 minutes, waited 45 minutes. I thought, you know what? I've got another bottle of this stuff. I might as well just take it all right now. Not going to have a problem. It's going to help me. I'm going to be able to drive through the night. I opened the second bottle, gulped the whole thing down, and made some nasty faces because it really tasted gross, but fortunately nobody could see my face at that time of night. And so then I thought, great, it's really going to kick in. It never kicked in. About a half hour later, I told Becky, I said, sweetheart, I said, I cannot drive anymore. I said, I'm going to have your help if you don't mind. She said, okay, that's fine. She took over the wheel. Within 60 seconds, I was out dreaming. So, you know, sometimes when you talk about strength, we try and find it on our own. We try and figure things out. And it doesn't cut the mustard. It doesn't always work. Now, I've talked to others who took one. I was talking to somebody this last week who took one of those. And it lasted for almost like 24 hours beyond what was supposed to do. But did nothing for me. But you know what is so wonderful? That I can go to a rock that is higher and I can find absolutely all the strength I need for my Christian life. But sometimes what we want to do is, we want to circumvent God's plan. Well, I can try and figure things out on my own. And God says, wait a minute. I'm the rock that is higher. I'm just waiting for you to come to me. You see, we can have the vigor if we will but go to God. But also we realize that going to the rock that is higher will give you victory. I found it interesting, a story that I read this last week of a 102-year-old woman by the name of Margaret Dunning, who is now getting ready for the next adventure in her life. She's heading back to college to finish her business degree. Yes, you heard that correct. Dunning had dropped out of the University of Michigan nearly 80 years ago during the Great Depression. But now she's lived long enough to know that there can be some surprises that come along the way. And she was presented with free tuition at the University of Michigan. And she's also been one who has a love for changing her own oil and spark plugs to this day. So the Fram Group decided to give her lifetime free car care products. Of course, that may only mean it's a few months. But anyway, at the age of 102. But this lady's made all kinds of headlines because of the care that she gives to her 82-year-old car. It's a 1930 Packard 740 Roadster that she bought back in 1949. And apparently she has a couple of other cars that she enjoys. But she grew up in a farm west of Detroit, not far from Henry Ford's family, and after she graduated from high school in 1929, she started a business degree at the University of Michigan. But during the Depression, she had to drop out of school to help her mother, who owned a bank and needed all the help that she could get. She said, I went on in banking for quite a while after that, so leaving school did not cause me too much harm. But now she says, I'll have to figure out just what I'll study, but it will be in business, though. I know that. I'm still running a business right now. But I think, man, that is a woman who's realized, hey, I may be old, but it ain't over yet. You know, and sometimes I think in our Christian lives, we can say, hey, pastor, I've been saved for 5 years. Hey, pastor, I've been saved for 25 years. Hey, pastor, I've been saved for 45 years. I've seen it all. I've done it all. I don't need to worry about it. And to you, I say this morning, you do need to worry about it. You do need today to be asking God, Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher. God, I want to see you do even more in my heart and my life in the days that yet remain until you either take me home or you come back to claim us as your own. That's what each one of us needs to realize today. Hey, listen, there is a rock that is higher that is found in God Almighty. I desire to be led to that rock that is higher. But how about you? You see, getting to the rock that is higher requires honesty. We have to acknowledge, yes, yes, Lord, I haven't breathed my last breath. I haven't taken my last step. God, by your grace and with your strength, I still desire to go higher in my spiritual walk. Sometimes what we want to do is we want to say, well, maybe somebody else, but maybe, you know, if I had what so-and-so had, if I was gifted like she was, or if I had the abilities that he has, of course I could do it. Or, well, you know, there was a time in my life when I was interested in going higher, but I've kind of gone past that now. Let's keep in mind, our God, the rock, is always higher than where we are. How badly do we want to get there? How concerned are we? You see, when we think about the decision that we have to make, each one of us has to decide, do I accept where I am as all that there is for my life? Or do I cry out to God, asking Him to lead me to the rock that is higher? Our message this morning has been applied primarily to Christians. We are the ones who need God to guide us if we're going to go higher for Him. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to do what many of us have already done. You need to come to God as the rock of salvation. You see, He's the only one who can lift you up out of the slough of sin and place your feet upon the rock. But for those of us who have come to the rock for forgiveness of our sins, I ask, what do you desire for God to do through your life, through your home, this year? We cannot reach the rock that is higher if we don't ask Him to lead us. Will you join me in asking God today to lead us all to the rock that is higher? Let's bow our heads in a word of